This is the Gas House Gang on 104.1 FM KMOX. Sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, a Daikin Comfort dealer.
And by Overhead Door Company of St. Louis and Chesterfield Fence and Deck.
Now, the Gas House Gang on KMOX.
That's right, the Gas House Gang is happening until 1 o'clock today. Bernie Miklas, Chris Ranji will be joined by Matt Pauly in just a moment, live from spring training. We want to hear from you, of course, 314-436-7900 for texts. We are streaming live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter at KMOX Sports. You can find us there also on the Odyssey app.
Now, a St. Louis Cardinals spring training report, sponsored by St. Louis Composting. Composting, growing gardens and making memories. And by Happy Roof. We always create happy endings on the voice of the Cardinals, KMOX.
And we welcome in Matt Pauly from Jupiter, Florida, as the Cardinals are getting ready for their official first pitchers and catchers workout, which is in just a couple of days on Thursday. Spring training officially starts, and Matt is with us now. First of all, good, afternoon. It's been afternoon for a while for you down in Florida. How are things looking?
Yeah, it looks good. It's impressive the work that they have done down here. Multiple buildings have been put up. Everything in the existing buildings have basically changed. And there's baseball stuff going on. If you go out to the backfields, we saw a lot of guys who are here getting some early work in. Jose Oquendo's already working his way around, working with guys. So we might still be 2 days away from officially the first pitchers and catchers workout, but things are happening, and it feels very baseball-y right now.
Matt, like you said, a lot of you know, a lot of players are kind of milling about, you know, people arrive early, but also players have had a chance to maybe look at some of the facilities. Ollie Marmol really excited about it, but what kind of feedback are you getting from people that are, you know, working for the Cardinals in a baseball way, who are getting their first look at the reconstruction that's been done down there?
Yeah, I talked to Ollie for a few minutes earlier today. I've had a few other conversations with some guys. Everybody loves it. Now, there's still a lot of people with hard hats. This isn't done. That's one of the things that we're trying to kind of navigate through right now, as they are still putting on a number of, I would say, finishing touches, but the work is going. This is phase two of a three-phase project, so there's going to continue to be work that happens after spring training wraps up. But everybody's really excited about this. I was in the batting cages building earlier. There's a brand new building just filled with batting cages, and it has all the tech and everything that goes along with it, and it was super impressive. I didn't get to go in the building that is their sports performance building, but it's huge, and I've just heard about what's going on inside of there as they've brought all performance aspects to it. Even something small like the new kitchen commissary dining area is impressive to walk around. That's not something that a lot of things that the vast majority of baseball teams have at their spring training complexes, the Cardinals did not have, and they've been able to catch up. We've spent so much time in recent months talking about how this organization needs to catch up. Well, one of the areas was some of the things that go on at the complex. I haven't been in the clubhouse yet. The clubhouse will open up to the media for the first time tomorrow, but I've heard it is impressive in there, that it doesn't look like it's something that was, you know, built in 1998 and not touched since anymore. So I'm looking forward to seeing that tomorrow.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, and I think that's really important. It really is. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Chris. Yeah.
No, you're right about that. It's. I think somebody listening might say, okay, that's all great and glad they have a better kitchen, but how is this going to ultimately lead to wins down the road? But having better facilities, you know, it may not be the difference between a 60-win team and a 100-win team, but it does matter at least a little bit.
It does, and especially when it comes to the kitchen. Don't we want these guys putting food into their bodies that is most going to allow them to have their bodies perform and function at the highest level? That's part of it. As we continue to evolve in sports, we learn more and more about how we can get the most out of individuals. And whether it's knowing how much you need to sleep, knowing what you need to be putting into your body, all of that matters. So the fact that there's now a much better situation for guys to get their meals here, yes, I think that does have an impact. I can't sit here and tell you that it's got a, you know, that's a three war kitchen over there across the way.
Three wins above replacement kitchen.
Yeah, that they're gonna do that. But I can tell you that it does have an impact.
What's the weighted on base of the chef? I need to know.
That's right. You know, I was flabbergasted to learn, in recent days that until now, not that we're turning this into Top Chef or anything, but I was just flabbergasted to learn, and it just shows you how just so hopelessly almost out of touch the Cardinals were in the way they did things. I mean, it's like you would think like it's 1957 instead of, 2024 or whatever, that, they would have that food truck for all the big leaguers, which was good. The guys liked it. But they're minor leaguers unless they were over with the big club that day to be like to be on the bench, maybe to pinch hit or pitch in an exhibition game, even though they're not going to be on the major league team. Those guys were pretty much on their own, or maybe somebody threw some hot dogs at them. I mean, there just wasn't anything going on. I just thought that was ridiculous. And so there are much more, there are more many things like that that are more important than that. But people say, well, you wonder why we're talking about a food truck. The point is, they couldn't even get that part right. And now they've caught up with the other 29 teams.
Okay, so when I was working in minor league baseball, I was a AAA broadcaster, and I was working in the Rockies and the Brewers organization. And Oklahoma City, I believe it was the Dodgers affiliate at the time. And the way it works in minor leagues is you have a visiting clubhouse guy, and they provide some meals and some, might be some breakfast, it's not anything overly healthy that you're getting in the minor leagues. So Gabe Kapler comes in to the Dodgers at the time, and he's working in the, I forget what his title was, but he was a, over, he might have been their farm director, I don't know. And he basically went in and said, hey, with all due respect to all the visiting clubhouse attendants across the Pacific Coast League, we're gonna take our own food in-house. So Gabe Kapler would sit there and go to every single minor league city that any of the Dodgers affiliates would go into, and he and his staff would work out the food that was going to be brought into the clubhouse, and basically they would cater externally. It ruffled some feathers, as you might expect, because that's going to impact the tips that the visiting clubhouse attendants are going to get and all that sort of stuff. But this was years and years ago. We're talking like 10, 15 years ago that this happened. But that gives you an idea of the importance of nutrition. We look to the Dodgers and say they're doing all these things the right way. Well, there's a very long ago example of something that happened where a very forward-thinking organization realized what players eat, even minor league players, mm-hmm. what players eat matters.
It's rest, it's food, and it's being able to stay in a decent place. And it used to be, and I'm not sure, Matt, maybe you know a little bit better than I do now. I have not experienced this in many years, but I know that the players used to be sleeping like, six people to an apartment. And it's really difficult to get rest in those cases because the minor league guys just don't make very much money. So it's not just in spring training, but that would extend through the season. It's a little different now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, housing is now taken care of through the teams. But absolutely, when I was working in the minor leagues, guys would get as many people into an apartment as possible. That would happen a lot with the Latin American players because basically every Latin American player would get into one small apartment. Guy would be in a bed, guy would be on a couch, guy would be on an air mattress because they are responsible for sending money back home. So I'm glad that doesn't happen anymore, where now Major League Baseball does make sure that all players are taken care of in terms of their living accommodations during the season.
And if I could throw something in, and Matt, I really look forward to your reports from spring training. Thanks for being down there and hustling. And I know you'll have a chance to talk to people about the thing I'm going to bring up. I remember having a conversation last early last season, I believe, you know, with Ollie Marmol, and he wasn't being critical, but I asked him about, you know, how are you guys in terms of doing, providing with your players? And this is the baseball stuff, you know, that the stuff that they need to really develop, that'll help them develop. And he just said, look, you know, we're starting to do some things, and that's good. I think we need to. But he told me something that really frustrated him and the coaches. Their players would be talking to players on other teams before games, after games, whatever, and say, hey, do you have a pitching lab? Yeah, oh, yeah, it's great. It's unbelievable. It helps our guys. Do you have a hitting lab? Oh, yeah, it's great. It really helps our guys. Do you have special instructors, like outfield instructor, catching instructor? What about analytics? Is it really good? Does it help you? Did the players want to buy in? Oh, yeah, because they're so good with it. It's really helped us, blah, 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 right on down the line. And Ollie would have to just tell every one of his guys, "No, we don't have that. I'm sorry. You know, we don't have that. Oh, sorry. We don't have that. I'm sorry." And it is just incomprehensible to me that the Cardinals, that once set the example of how to develop players, they were the best in the business, how this thing just completely fell apart. I mean, I'm so glad that this stuff is now a priority for them and that ownership has pumped a lot of money into it. It's really something the Cardinals had to do. It was way overdue, and I'm glad that it's finally here. So I didn't mean to make a speech, but I know it's something we'll be talking about a lot.
No, it's notable because I don't know if you remember Jacob Barnes. He was with the Brewers, and he was with the Cardinals for a very short amount of time, I think at the end of 23 maybe. And I remember having a conversation with him, and it was remarkable the amount of information and data that he was used to getting because he had pitched with the Brewers that he was not getting as a member of the Cardinals.
That's it's just astounding, and I know that we have moved on from this, but it is one of the reasons that we're kind of where we are now, that the Cardinals are in this position. Yeah. So yes, we should be moving on, saying, okay, well, they're addressing it, and they are, yeah, but it also kind of stinks to think about the fact that they are where they are in part because of this.
But it is, I think, the important thing here that you said. We can sit here and relitigate it all we want to, and there are times to have these conversations for sure. But the important thing is, this is really, you wouldn't recognize this place in some areas. Like, literally where you open up the door to go into the clubhouse, there's now this long walkway. There's a building that wasn't there before. There's this stuff. It looks completely different. It looks impressive. It's really good. I think fans should know that. Fans who are coming down should know. By the way, quick sidebar for fans who are coming down here, you're going to basically have to come in from the Marlins side and walk across, because there's so much construction going on. The normal entrance way to get back to the Cardinals quads is not going to be open up to the average fan. So there's still some growing pains that go along with this, but it's impressive.
Yeah, the last time I was there was 20... Oh, you know what it was? It was a couple of weeks before the world shut down in 2020.
Oh, COVID
so,
year.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, if it's different than that, then, you know, I don't even know if I'd remember what it looked like, because it's been so long since I've been there.
Hey, we have a brand new broadcast facility as well here where I'm at right now. It used to be... Nobody cares about this, but I'm going to share it anyways.
Yeah, I care.
It used to be that... We had to walk across the street to this office building, and we had kind of a conference room where we set everything up. Now we've got this beautiful room. It's right in the main complex. You walk in the front door of the complex. We're the first door on the right. We got a big Camo X sign on our door. It's pretty snazzy, if I do say so myself.
Well,
you know, Ron, the Cardinals need a right-handed bat. They need this. They need that. Like, they got to stop pampering the media, okay?
That's right. And I hope they don't feed you. I hope they don't give you anything to drink. I hope you have to walk miles to get any services. There's no bathroom. I hope there's no bathroom for you, Matt Pauly.
There are new bathrooms outside where we do. If nature calls, we no longer have to make the half mile walk from the quads to get to a facility.
That's too bad. Well, Matt, we are looking forward to the spring training reports, and we know in a couple of days there's going to be a lot to talk about as the Cardinals will officially get underway. We know guys have been there already, and we know you're also going to keep us posted on everything that happens.
Yeah, absolutely, and we'll pop on here at the beginning of the Gas House game pretty much every day here moving forward, and looking forward to it.
Yep, that's right. Right at 12 o'clock, for the most part, Matt Pauly will join us. You've got Sports Open Line tonight?
I do, and Rush Hour Sports, so 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock, some form or fashion. I'll be with you tonight.
Let's go, dude. Thank you.
You bet.
That is Matt Pauly with the St. Louis Cardinals Spring Training Report, sponsored by St. Louis Composting, Growing Gardens and Making Memories, and by Happy Roof. We always create happy endings on the Voice of the Cardinals, KMOX. Gas House Gang is brought to you by Saliga Heating and Cooling, SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com, and Overhead Door Company of St. Louis, Bernie Miklas and Chris Ranji on this Tuesday. Bernie, this is a very strange time in sports. While we do have the Olympics going on here, so there are sports to be talking about here over the next few days before we get to spring training, it is still post-Super Bowl, post-football. Still have to wait for official spring games to happen, and the Cardinals haven't even begun their official workouts yet. So it's a very odd time in sports, but there's a lot of anticipation here. I still do like this part of the year because all the possibilities are open, and I know that we kind of have a pretty good idea what's going to happen with the Cardinals this year. There's still that, yeah, I guess you never know factor, right?
I think there's a factor where they can exceed their expectations.
Sure.
Granted, the expectations are set low. I've seen the first FanGraphs projection model, the forecast, the Cardinals would basically win 75 games. Clay Davenport, who's like one of the originators of all of these wonderful metrics that have made it helpful for people like me to do my job. He's got the Cardinals winning about 72 games. So, you know, I'm kind of looking at that area. And if they could win 78 games, kind of match what they did last year, I would actually think that'd be a good season for them, because evaluating this season differently than we've evaluated the past seasons, because those teams weren't rebuilding. This one is. And a lot of the veteran talent has been stripped away as part of the rebuilding. So if the Cardinals can win as much as they did last year, I think it'd be a credit to, you know, the manager, the coaches, Heim Bloom, the players. But Chris, if I could just say this, I got done doing a video about this. It'll be up on STL Sports Central later. The only thing I care about this season, I care about all the games, listening to the games on KMOX, watching on TV when I can. I care deeply about that. But in terms of like outcomes, the only outcome that I truly, truly care about, because it matters the most, you have all these young players, you have young veterans who have not been very good, you have guys coming to the big leagues, and it's like, I want to see, you're not going to get 100%. I want to see more and more and more of these young players start to take forward steps, instead of being stalled out or going into reverse. To me, that's the most important question of the season. Can we see progress, exciting progress from their young players?
You know what? The way you put that is, you know, to use a football analogy, and the season I know just ended a couple of days ago, but it's kind of like a team. And the way I felt about Caleb Williams this year with the Bears, I just wanted him to take a step forward. I didn't really care so much about the win total at first. And then, of course, the season changed that dynamic a lot, like the Cardinals last year. You know, at first it was, hey, runway season, young players are going to play. Let's hope we see some growth from Jordan Walker and the likes of him and Nolan Gorman and guys like that. But then first couple of months of the season went kind of well. So it was, okay, the calculus changed a little bit. Now I want them to push and maybe win. Obviously, we saw how that happened. But you're right. It is just like a young quarterback. I don't need the Cardinals to win games. In fact, they are projected, as you said, not to do very well. Pecota has them projected to win 68, I believe. Mm. So that'll make them one of the worst teams in baseball if that's how it pans out. I just need to see some of these younger players, like J.J. Weatherholt, if he's on the team, And actually, I think Jordan Walker might be my guy to really watch this year, because it's been disappointing so far. And there are a lot of people who are starting to be out on him, even though he's not 24 yet. I mean, we're still talking about a pretty young guy. And I think this year could be very big for him one way or another. I don't think it's a make or break for his career, but maybe as the Cardinals view him, this is a very, very big season for Jordan Walker. I just need to see steps forward from players like him and see what Weatherholt can do and so on and so forth.
Right. I agree with you. I mean, no one's saying they have to be an all-star, you know, but you just got to see that, oh, okay, he's figured this stuff out. Look at how much better he is. That's kind of what I'm looking for. That applies to Nolan Gorman as well. It even applies never to, say, Mason Wynn's defense, but that applies to his offense. That applies to Victor Scott's offense. I'm just going right down the line. Can Matthew Liberatore, who was great for the first 10 starts and then maybe hit that wall because it's the first time he's a starting pitcher, he kind of scuffled the rest of the season. Can he now be a guy that's going to pitch well all season? I want to see signs of that, although we're not going to find that out right away. You know, the difference is huge, because this is the first time everyone in that camp and everyone on that roster that opens the season, they will have the full advantage of all the changes the Cardinals have made. The technology, the pitching labs, the hitting labs, much smarter analytics, specialized instruction. The guy who's the director of pitching is the guy that helped build the Seattle Mariners rotation. Assistant General Manager Rob Servolio is a guy that for years has kept the Guardians well-stocked with great starting pitching. You know, in other words, there's no excuse for any of these guys to fail to get better if a lack of effort and a lack of putting time in to take advantage of all the new things that have been put into their benefit. There's no excuse for that now. No one's work ethic should be questioned. That would be inexcusable. We don't expect them all to become superstars. They have all the tools they need, however, to get better. And that has not been the case in the past.
Yeah. So in a lot of ways, this is another runway season. I hate using that word, but it kind of is what it is. It should be a growth year. It's not going to be a winning season. It's going to be a growth year, or it needs to be. And then I'll feel a whole lot better about where they are. I already have a little more confidence in the direction of the organization now, based on the stuff they have done in the last several months, and I guess last year, really. But this is a year for me that I need to see steps forward. I don't necessarily need wins. I'm right there in lockstep with you on that. I need to see young players looking better in September than they looked in March and April and in spring training. Bernie Miklas is on the show, brought to you by Saliga Heating and Cooling, a Daikin dealer. I'm Chris Ranji. We will continue to, we're always here open for you. If you've got thoughts, you can send us messages on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, at KMOX Sports. We are streaming live on those platforms. We're streaming live on the Odyssey app as well, where you can leave us a voice message. It is the Gas House Gang until 1 o'clock on KMOX. The Gas House Gang is sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com, and Overhead Door Company of St. Louis. Bernie Miklas, before we get to, I want to talk a little Billikens basketball here in just a moment, because they're having such a fantastic season, and it's been a lot of fun to watch. They're 23-1. They won't play again until Friday when they travel to visit Loyola. But let's go back over some of these preseason projections that have been released, and we know where the Cardinals sit. I mentioned Pecota, which is the baseball reference. Their projections for the upcoming season, what they think the win totals are going to be. And as I mentioned, they've got the Cardinals finishing with a record of 68 wins this year, which is, I don't think I would have thought it was going to be that bad. 68-94. That's what their projection is now. They have said that the National League Central will be taken by the Cubs. I don't think anybody is really surprised by that, 88-74, but the Brewers right behind them with 87 wins. They have projected the Reds to finish, the Cincinnati Reds to finish with 83, then the Pirates at 74, and the Cardinals in last place in the division. Now, again, there's going to be a lot of movement, and, you know, Picota's not always spot on, but it is something to pay attention to. Does this sound about right to you, where the Cubs win the division, then it's the Brewers, Reds, Pirates, and Cardinals in last?
How many wins do they have for the Cubs and the Brewers? I'm just
They've
curious.
Got 88 wins for the Cubs, 87 for Milwaukee.
Yeah, that sounds about right, because I tell you what, I think once again, Milwaukee has actually had a better off season than people think, and they continue to make moves. So they're going to be dangerous again. They're going to be sneaky dangerous. No, it sounds about right. I mean, the Cardinals should be the last place team in the NL Central. Again, whatever the win total is, they should. The other teams are better than they are. You just look at the Pirates. They've got two of the best young starting pitchers in Major League Baseball. We're talking about dominant guys. We're talking about two aces in Skeens and Burns, and they even have other young pitchers that are really, really good, Jason Jones. And they've added bats to their offense. I mean,
Marcelo Zuna just acquired.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. They're going to have a lot. They're going to have more talent. They're going to have more pop offensively. They're headed in the right direction. They're not spending a fortune, but they are spending more money. The Reds are ahead of the Cardinals because the Reds made the playoffs last year. However, the Reds are actually very disappointing, because when you look at their drafts and you look at the players they've developed, not only pitchers, but position players. I mean, really talented players. And then you go get Terry Francona. I don't understand how they only won 82, 83 games last season, even though they did make the playoffs. And they really haven't done much to improve the team this year. So even with that said, the Cardinals are the least likely team in the division to show any real upward mobility. They just are. That's the reality. Because they're the only team in the division that's in a total rebuild.
And again, the projections that we bring to you, whether it's Picota, you know, USA Today, I mean, everybody's going to do projections. And a lot of times FanGraphs, they'll have them as well. All these projections change as time goes on. And it's sure. And a lot of them are a little different. Sometimes they're much different. So I wouldn't put a whole lot of stock in them. But it is interesting to look at what these algorithms, what the models say about what the Cardinals are going to end up being, what the prognosticators think are going to happen with the season coming up here. And again, I just don't, this year, as we've already discussed, really isn't about their win total. This is about leaps forward, hopeful leaps forward, at least steps forward by some of the younger players like Jordan Walker. And we have a texter here who says, if you want to see Jordan Walker have a breakout here, just trade him. I bet a change of scenery would mean the world for him. And we did talk about this a little bit yesterday with Kevin Wheeler when he was on Gas House Gang. I am hoping, Bernie, that this does not become a situation where Walker, for whatever reason, if it's just he didn't get off to a great start, has a bad taste about being here. And I don't want to speak for him. I don't know what he thinks about being in the organization, but I hope we don't get to a point where just getting away from this and going somewhere else, a new environment, not even necessarily a better environment, just a different one, ends up with him starting to figure it out. And I don't think this is the season for that. I don't think this is the year for that. And maybe next year isn't even the year for that, but I would hate to see that happen with him, where he goes somewhere and figures it out.
Well, yeah, but a lot of this is on the player as well. I can understand the people that would want to point the finger at the Cardinals that somehow they've failed with him. They've created this environment where he's bound to fail. And I'm kind of scratching my head at that, because we actually saw him do pretty well as a rookie. But the other thing that has emerged, and by the way, I'm not just saying this now. I wrote about it, talked about it in 2024 and last season. And I said, well, if he is going to get better, the first thing he's going to have to do is accept coaching. he's been a guy that's like, okay, I'll work on that. All right, whatever. And then he gives up on it. He doesn't follow through. And Brent Brown, the batting coach, on KMOX, on a question of the Gas House Gang that I asked.
Yeah, during the season.
Basically, in so many words, said his work ethic's got to be better. He's got to dig in on this stuff. We're trying to help him. So, you know, if Jordan, I'm at this point, now Jordan Walker is going to have every tool, every resource, everything he needs to turn himself around. And if he doesn't, that's on Jordan Walker. That's not on the Cardinals.
And I do agree with you on that. And I don't, I've met him once, maybe twice. He seems like a really nice guy. I mean, when you meet him, that doesn't indicate work ethic or anything. And I don't think he's got my impression of him is that he doesn't have a lousy work ethic. It just, maybe it doesn't absorb well with him, especially if he starts to struggle. Where a lot of times guys just kind of revert back to what they're comfortable with and what they're used to. That it's hard and scary for them to do something different when you've done something a different way your entire life. But at some point, you gotta big boy up, you know? You gotta do it. If you want to stick in the league, you have to be open if what you're used to doing is not working for you.
Who took a big step forward offensively last year? Alec Burleson. You know why Alec Burleson took a big step forward? Because he worked with Brent Brown, who kept reinforcing the things. Listen, I mean, you have a great bat. You make great contact skills. You got to swing at more strikes. You got to punish strikes. You got to quit chasing pitches. And he just preached and taught. And Burleson applied that stuff. He finally accepted the coaching advice. And he had the best season of his career, and it kind of unlocked the key. A guy like Nolan Gorman should be capable of doing that, at least better than he has. Jordan Walker should definitely be better than he has. But again, his reputation down at Busch Stadium is he has not always accepted coaching. I don't understand that. But again, we turn the page, and 2026 is a new season. And from what I understand, he's worked pretty hard this offseason. So I hope that this is the year where it finally clicks for him. But I just it's easy to take shots even now at John Mozeliak. And believe me, I've taken a lot of shots at Mo. It's easy for me and others to say, well, Bill DeWitt's been an excellent owner if you look at the 30 years in whole, but the Cardinals should not have let their player development system fall apart. Those things are accurate, but they've also changed all that now, and that should benefit the players that they have down in Jupiter and the players that they will take into the season. And the draft and development system, it's really quite kind of amazing. In fact, I would recommend go to fangraphs.com, and there is an interview with Rob Serfolio, the assistant general manager, also in charge of player development. It's really, really informative about the way their philosophy is on thing and the way things are changing. But they also came out with the Cardinals' top 53 prospects, right? And first of all, they're allowed to use as many, they're allowed to use any number they want. And the fact that they wanted to put 53 prospects on their list for the Cardinals is an indication, because they say it in the introduction, that it's an indication of how deep all of a sudden this farm system is. So I looked at the 53 guys. I'm getting to the point here. I looked at all 53 guys, and I did a quick count. 22 of those 53 guys have been added to the Cardinals organization since last July. I mean, that is remarkable work in terms of bringing fresh talent into the organization. It's something they have not been doing well.
And they have now, with the MLB pipeline, MLB.com's their top 100 prospects in the game. The Cardinals are tied for the most in the top 100 with the Guardians. They both have 6, which is that's a good chunk to have. That's a lot to have.
And
it doesn't mean they're all going to pan out. They're not all going to become major league contributors, but you might hit on a couple. And if you do, then you're in really good shape, because now you're talking about young talent that is inexpensive for a while. And that means you can build around them. That's Bernie Miklas. Yeah. I'm Chris Ronge. Go ahead, Bernie.
You know, I was going to say real quick. And the thing of it is, they're so good at what they do. This new group, they're so good at identifying talent and how they can, okay, I can fix that guy. That I wouldn't be surprised if the Cardinals, some of the prospects that emerge where you're like, wow, are guys that were drafted late in the draft, you know? So there'll be some surprises too, I think.
Now back to the Gas House Gang, sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling.
And by Overhead Door Company of St. Louis and Chesterfield Fence and Deck.
On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Chris Ranji and Bernie Miklas. And he's brought to you by Saliga Heating and Cooling, a Daikin dealer. This is the Gas House Gang for just a couple more moments. We will not get to see Billiken's basketball again until Friday when they travel to Loyola. They'll play a game there on the road. Then they've got one in Rhode Island after that. So a couple of road games for them before they come back home here. And Bernie, I know it's look, we are over a month away before the NCAA tournament actually happens. But for a team that is 23-1, they are 16 in the net rankings. They are 18 in the Associated Press poll. They're looking really good right now. Still have quite a few games here to go, and things could turn the other direction, but right now looking good. Neil Payne at ESPN has put together his teams that he believes are in the tournament, on the bubble. So we're doing the bubble watch right now. He has two teams out of the mid-majors that he believes are locks for the NCAA tournament, Gonzaga and the St. Louis Billikens. So I think barring some sort of complete disaster in the final month here, it looks likely that the Billikens will make it.
I believe so, but you're correct. I mean, there's always a chance. This applies to every team. There's always a chance, you know, that things could fall apart. I don't see it with this team. It's so well coached. It's so deep. It's so mature. It's so unselfish. The players themselves, they play the game the right way. They're strong offensively and defensively. Do they turn it over too much? Yeah. Could they shoot free throws better? Yeah. But when you can defend as well as they do, two-point shots, three-point shots, when your scoring efficiency is one of the best in the nation, if you get anything done at both ends of the floor, I mean, you're really, really solid. You're really, really strong fundamentally. And they have that. The only thing I could see, and basically what you're doing in a way is like asking me, like, what would be the scenario where, you know, things take a wrong turn? Well, they would have to lose, you know, two or three games. I would say three or more games, but sort of unravel late in the season. And that's also when the strength of schedule would work against them a little bit. Right now, they're number 231 in strength of schedule at KenPom. And that includes a non-conference schedule rating that's a little better. Or no, actually it's worse.
It's worse, right?
Yeah, it's 309.
Yeah, wasn't there their overall strength of schedule in the 300s for a while?
Yeah,
yeah, and I think it was.
I think it's 187 now, if I'm reading that correctly. So that could work against them if they start losing games. Like I was looking, people are, and I want to get into this, and we don't have time now, but people are starting to say, hey, is this the best team they've ever had? With all due respect, because I want to give respect to teams that have came before them. Like, for example, the 2011-2012 team, which was the last one that Rick Majerus actually coached, that team got as high as number 10 in the KenPom rankings, but also played a really strong schedule. So I love this current team. I love it. But I'm just saying, got to show some respect to those Majerus teams. That two-year run they had, because those guys were really good and they played a tougher schedule.
Billikens have Loyola Friday. Then on Tuesday, they're at Rhode Island. They'll come back home for that VCU game, which is also a Friday game. And that one is going to be difficult, but a home game. And so I would imagine that you're going to have a really good crowd. They go back to Dayton. They'll play Duquesne and Loyola at home. And that's how they finish up the home season. Then on the road at George Mason, that's March 7th. So, I mean, it will get a little tougher for them in the final weeks of the season. But, man, if they get into if they lose two games regular season total and they get to the tournament and win a game and then maybe lose, don't necessarily win the whole conference tournament, I think they're in. I think three losses has them in. That's me. And I could be wrong about that, but they're just such a fun team, good team to watch, and they're getting national recognition. So hopefully I'm right.
It's great. Yep, hope you are too.
Hey, we'll do it again on Thursday, Bernie. What do you say?
Absolutely. Always enjoy being with you, Ronj.
You too, my friend. That is Bernie Miklas. I'm Chris Ronji. If you missed the Gas House Gang, go back and get it on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, at KMOX Sports, or the Odyssey app. We'll be back tomorrow, however. Gas House Gang at 12 on 104.1 FM KMOX.